Rules and executive appointments for February 7th, 2008. This is the afternoon meeting. We have a number of items, people to hear from in person and a number on phone, and then we will actually act upon a number of reappointments. There are several changes to the schedule today. Ms. Joanne Waller has decided to basically remove her name from consideration for personal reasons. Susan Kastner from the Women's Commission, appointment to the Women's Commission, unfortunately can't be here today, so we're going to reschedule her till next Tuesday. And I'll say it. Mr. Hernandez. We had him on the sheet today as a reappointment. We first have to put him on the sheet as an appointment before we can do him as a reappointment. So we'll do him next Tuesday also.
My bad.
So we will get started here, and I'm going to call up first the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, and I'll next go up to the Transportation Commission after that. Please, Shirley Madadahill, Nancy Olson, and Monica Takata, if you'd all please come forward. Now, Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, very important body for the state. This is your first time appearing before this committee, but please feel at ease. This is just the normal process that we go through. We're just going to ask each of you just to talk for 2 or 3 minutes about your background, why you're interested in the position, and basically maybe take a few questions from the committee, and that's how we're going to proceed today. So I'm going to mispronounce your name probably again. Ms. Madadahill?
Madadahill.
Oh, okay. See, I knew I loved it.
That's fine. Chair Devlin and members of the committee, my name is Shirley Madadahill, and I reside at 2329 Wilona Park in Eugene, Oregon, and I represent Eugene for School District 4J, and I'm here as a commissioner in hopes to be a commissioner for the TSPC committee.
Ms. Olson.
Thank you, Senator Devlin.
Just taking.
Chair. I live in 1021 Beeson Lane, Talent, Oregon, which is in Southern Oregon. Senator Acton knows that. And I teach in the Phoenix Talent School District, and I've been a teacher in Oregon for 36 years. Oh. And I'm here today to be considered for TSPC, and I thank you for having me here.
Ms. Takata.
Good afternoon, Chair Senator Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Monica Takata. I live in 1745 Skyway Street South in Salem. I'm a program assistant for the Second Language Learning Department in Salem Kaiser Public Schools. And I look forward to serve in the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission because as a Hispanic female, I bring an inclusive voice for the minorities in our community. Thank you for the honor and the opportunity to testify before you.
Do you have any questions of us? Do you have anything else that you'd like to say? Are there any questions from the committee?
No, Jason.
Jason. Or Senator Atkinson.
Thank you.
I apologize.
He said Ms. Olson, did you have any of the Rialt boys, the Rault boys in class? On Rap Road?
Yes, I did.
Were they all three bad or just one?
Actually, they were my neighbors. And their mother was worked at our school district in our district office.
Yeah.
And Leslie Rault is now the counselor at our school, so she is an in-law.
I am the fourth one of those boys. I grew up with Bob's one of my oldest friends, the boy, so our families all grew up.
They're
so
great.
Anyway, yeah, I strike the rotten comment from Carol's probably listening.
Well, thank all of you very much. We will actually go through a process now where we'll do all the interviews we need to do. Then we will go into work session. You're welcome to stay. You're actually welcome if you have other things to do to leave. So. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will now go on to the Transportation Commission and former Representative Alan Brown and Mr. David Lohman. And Ms. Brown, would you please proceed?
Thank you, Chair Devlin. Members of the committee, for the record, I'm Alan Brown. I live at 126 First Place, Newport, Oregon. I'm a small business owner. I own and operate the Leshwab Tire Centers in Newport and Toledo. For most of my working and public service life, I've worked in transportation issues, and each phase has given me the perspective of the challenges we must face and the solutions we must undertake. I was an employee of the Oregon State Highway Department for 14 years. I've operated my tire store in Newport for 35 years. I was for eight years a commissioner for the Port of Newport, and for 6 years I've served in the Oregon State Legislature, serving on the House Transportation Committee. During the 2003 session, I chaired the House Transportation Committee, helping in creation and the passage of the Oregon Transportation Investment Acts 1, 2, and 3. I want to use these experiences and perspectives to help establish a sound transportation policy that takes Oregon into a safe, efficient, and economically productive future. I thank the committee for the opportunity to testify, and I would be glad to answer any questions. Thank you very much.
Okay. Mr. Lohman, and then we'll go to questions.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is David Lohman. I live at 950 Beverly Way, Jacksonville. I'm an attorney in private practice in Medford. I regret having to go second here because I don't quite measure up to the standards that he's just described, but I do have a fair amount of experience in the transportation area and in economic development. I have a great interest in those areas and natural resources and alternative transportation modes. And it strikes me that a position on the OTC gives me an opportunity to make full use of those experiences and interests, and I look forward to the opportunity if it works out here. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions?
I just love having so many people from home.
Mr. Chair, hi.
Yes.
Question for Mr. Lohman. Could you I understand you're not extremely well-versed in transportation issues. Could you give us a little sense of your philosophy about light rail, mass transit, streetcar, and other sort of alternative transportation modes?
Well, I was a very active at one point in my life. I worked for 10 years for the Port of Portland, and one of my roles there was to help get light rail to the airport started. I believe very much in that, particularly in that setting. It's really critical because we're probably never going to be able to expand the asphalt on I-84 to get out to the airport, and there need to be other ways to get there. I currently represent the Rogue Valley Transportation District, the transit agency in the Rogue Valley. And very much believe that down there, even where the population is less dense, we're going to have to figure out ways to move people much more efficiently without adding a lot more asphalt.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Former Representative Brown, I just wanted to say how much I appreciated serving with you, and I think we shared a lot of discussions on transportation issues, and now we will get to continue those. And I would tell Mr. Lohman that I know that Mr. Brown knows how hard some of these people work on these various commissions. They work on behalf of the citizens of Oregon, and your service is most appreciated, both of you. So
thank
you very much. And as I said before, we will act on these appointments when we get through the public hearings portion of today's agenda.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go on to Workforce Investment. Wes Melo.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Wes Mello. I live at 825 Umpqua College Road in Roseburg. I'm Vice President of Operations for Ingram Book Company in Roseburg. I've been in Oregon going on 20 years now. I'm a candidate for the Oregon Workforce Investment Board. I've been active, obviously, as an employer. I've been active in workforce for this state since I came here. And I'm frankly quite proud of the Oregon workforce. We have 300 employees in our operation, and quite frankly, we're the best operation the company has nationwide. I am a member of the Oregon Workforce Alliance, and I'm very interested in serving as a candidate on the Oregon Workforce Investment Board. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Mello, any questions from the committee?
I do, actually, Mr. Chair, and then I'll shut up for the rest of the afternoon. But I'm actually sharing housing with a law student who's working on how do we make sure that our workforce is adequately trained for the new sustainable industries that we're creating. And I just wondered if you had any thoughts on that and if you were aware of that as an issue.
Well, it's certainly an issue, and obviously the world is changing. I think that our junior college and college educational system is very important to developing our workforce. But I also believe that we really need, out of our high schools, students who are prepared for the workforce. And I'm a huge advocate. In fact, if I weren't here today, I'd be at Roseburg High School working with our high school faculty to try and develop those students and get them ready for the workforce.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Mill.
Yes, sir.
We will move on to the public safety standards and training. Mr. Martin.
Thank you, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Jeff Martin, and I live at 856 Northwest Ehrman Place in Corvallis. I have been asked to serve as the vice chair representing the private security industry on the board on public safety standards and training. I've been employed in the alarm industry for 30 years and have represented central stations that provide alarm monitoring in Oregon by serving as the alarm monitor chair on the private security and investigators policy committee for the past 4 years. It is my desire to continue to serve our industry through my involvement with private security, and I believe I bring a fair and balanced form of leadership and contribution to the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training. I would like to thank the committee for your consideration of this appointment and for the privilege to speak before you today. If you have any questions, including Senator Brown, you may ask as
no,
well.
No, no, no.
I would be happy to answer them.
Okay. Any questions?
No.
No.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will move on to the Sex Offender Treatment Board. Bree Akins.
Good afternoon, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Bree Akins. I live at 3609 Southeast Coral Reef Place in Corvallis. I am the Prevention Program Coordinator for the Attorney General's Sexual Assault Task Force. I have applied to serve on the Sex Offender Treatment Board because I believe it is important to utilize a victim-centered approach, keeping the needs and best interests of victim in mind throughout the process of treating and managing sex offenders. I've been an advocate for survivors of sexual violence for over 9 years, and in my current position as the Prevention Program Coordinator, I staff the Offender Management Committee of the Attorney General's Sexual Assault Task Force. Additionally, my expertise in primary prevention provides me with insights into the root causes of sexual violence and how we might best address these causes in order to better prevent recidivism, particularly with juvenile offenders. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I've already used up my quota for the day.
No, you. If you have any questions.
Okay, Mr. Chair, then I will.
Okay.
Thank you. So this is a newly created board, as I recall, and I think it's going to take a lot of your time and energy. Mm-hmm. I think what I would be most curious as a legislator is, after you've had an opportunity to be on the board for 6 months, kind of what you see is what worked, what didn't. And so I'd just like a report back about your experiences serving on the board, you know, you think if, whether you think it's going in the right direction, all that kind of stuff, just to kind of get a sense of what, if what we did is doing what we expected it to do. So I'm just looking for a report or evaluation. So,
really?
Okay.
And I, Mr. Chair, and I would second that, and I was very glad to hear you talk specifically about children. And I'm assuming you're talking both as victims and as offenders, but probably most as offenders, since that's what this board will focus on.
Yeah.
So when you come back, I'd be particularly interested in what the board is doing regarding that population.
Definitely. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you very much. We will now go on to the Home Care Commission.
No.
Or wait a second.
No. Medical board.
Oh, okay. Okay, we will go on to the Oregon Medical Board, and we will go on to Linda Johnson and Ralph Yates.
Mm-hmm. I know him too, but I promise I won't ask her any questions.
Okay, Ms. Johnson, why don't you start off?
I'm Linda Johnson, and I live at 12123 Summit Loop in Turner, which is just south of Salem. And I'm a board-certified practicing emergency physician here in Salem at Salem Hospital with the Salem Emergency Physicians. And I have been was asked by the Oregon Medical Association to consider this appointment, I think because of my experience with similar situations at the local level in hospitals with medical executive committees and credentialing committees. And I've also worked with the Oregon Medical Board on investigations before. And I feel with my administrative experience and my long service to patients that these are good attributes for the board. And I look forward to working with them and would answer any questions that you'd like.
Okay. Mr. Yates.
Senator Chair Devlin, it's a pleasure to be here, members of the committee. Ralph Yates, I'm a family and sports medicine physician in Portland, Oregon. I've been in continuous clinical practice for 28 years. I had a small primary care group, independent primary care group that I started in 1990, Columbia Family Medical Associates. I'm an assistant clinical professor of family medicine at OHSU. And like Linda, I have worked with the Board of Medicine myself for the last 8 years as one of their medical consultants. And we are handed cases that involve primarily standard of care cases and work very carefully and very closely with their investigators and with the board itself, and was asked, as she was, to consider this position. I'm certainly open to any questions you might have.
Okay. Any questions?
There's about to be. Hold on.
Seven Ironmans?
Oh, to that show. Yes, sir.
When was your last Ironman?
I retired in 92. That was my last one.
What event do you like the best?
Well, that would be now as an old guy who's gray and can no longer run, or before I started breaking down. I would probably tell you cycling.
Oh, that's
a good answer.
Sarah Atkinson, as a patient said to me, do you know what the definition of an old runner is?
Oh, now you're going to ruin it.
Cyclist.
Are you riding today?
Not today. I'm going back to work.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Thank you both very much for coming.
Thank you.
Good to see
Pleasure seeing you, Senator Pratt.
Okay. We will go on to the Voluntary Action and Service Board. Michael Fieldman.
Thank you, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Michael Fieldman. I live at 411 West Elizabeth in Roseburg, Oregon, and I'm currently the executive director of the Umpqua Community Action Network that serves both Douglas and Josephine counties, and been in that position for 8 years and have been involved with human services for over 35 years of my life. I'm really excited about the possibility of being on the commission for voluntary action and service, because it really is a good juncture for me of both my personal values and my professional experience. Personally, I've had a lifelong commitment to volunteerism. It's one of the things that I've learned over the years, that you get out of the community what you put into it, and that also I sort of see volunteerism as a fee you sort of pay for living in society and living in community, and hopefully we give back more than we take out of the community. Been involved with many volunteer organizations over my life, and since I've been in Roseburg, I've helped start a volunteer center in Douglas County, and also helped start a business building community awards, which is a recognition of businesses for the volunteer work that they do with nonprofits and social service agencies in Douglas County. On a professional level, I've been involved with social services and agencies that use volunteers for over 35 years. And then also been actively involved with VISTA and AmeriCorps programs for about 14 years. Before coming here, I was up in Northeast Washington working for a county up there and ran a AmeriCorps team of about 20 AmeriCorps members, and then started in Douglas County about 4 years ago, a VISTA team. Started out as 6 members. It's now grown to 20 members serving Douglas, Josephine, and Coos County. So it's a good opportunity for me to share my experiences and my personal values with the committee and hopefully bring some of the things there and continue my personal interests. So thank you for giving me the honor and the opportunity to testify before you and be here, and glad to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming here today. We will now move on to the Home Care Commission, Patty Brose. When you come forward, just please identify yourself for the record and let us know why you are interested and what your background is a little bit.
My name is Patty Brose, and I am a member of the Governor's Commission for Senior Services, and was asked to replace someone who is representing the Governor's Commission to the Home Care Commission, whose term of office has expired. My background is nursing. I'm a retired registered nurse, and I worked for 38 years in a small suburban community hospital in Portland, Mount Hood Medical Center in Gresham. And during my last 25 years of working, I did a lot of community work. And I worked with the Gresham Senior Center. In fact, I was the president of the board of directors for almost 6 years. And in that position, I collaborated with the district center and the case managers, dealing with directly with seniors who need and disabled who needed help. And the other background information that fits into this also is my work with Ride Connection, which is a provider of senior and disabled transportation in the Portland metro area. And I actually was a provider in East Multnomah County for about 6 years and have been on the board of Ride Connection since then. And so I've gotten really to know a lot about the needs of seniors and of the disabled, and home care was one of the areas that Legacy Health System, we helped set up the Visiting Nurses Association many years ago. So it all kind of fits together, and I would be very happy to take Kay's place on the Home Care Commission. She has done a great job, and I just attended my first meeting and already was able to contribute some things, so I think that I would be a good fit there.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Ms. Brose? No, that's fine. Thank you very much for coming here today.
Go.
Committee, we now have about 9 interviews by phone.
That's okay.
And so we will start into the voluntary action and service and see when our modern technology comes to fruition.
There you go.
Okay. Is this Andy Nelson?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Nelson, this is Senator Devlin, and I'm here with many members of the Rules and Executive Appointments Committee. We'd just like to hear a few minutes from you about why you're interested in this appointment and a little bit on your background.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. I'm happy to just take a couple of moments of your time. In the last 5 years, in my professional capacity, I've been executive director of an organization called Hands On Greater Portland. In that role, we've been able to increase the level of citizens volunteering for nonprofit organizations. Right now, working with several thousand individuals a year, about 300 nonprofit organizations. And I see this appointment as an opportunity to extend what I've learned here for the benefit of the rest of Oregon. I think there's some best practices and some experiences that we've had locally that could be very useful to other communities throughout Oregon that lack a voluntary infrastructure like we have here. Secondly, I think there's quite a bit I can gain personally from the experience of working throughout the state.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Nelson? If not, thank you very much, Mr. Nelson, for being willing to appear to hear today by telephone, and we will take action on your appointment a little bit later this afternoon.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Okay. So it's Stephanie tonight? Okay. How's the little guy doing?
Five. He's skiing. He wanted to put a man's saddle on his trike.
Oh, he wants to.
He has his racetrack. He has a titanium.
He wants to test out the legs.
Wow.
Who is the party?
He talks too much.
I can't imagine where he got it from.
He's reading.
Okay. Mr. Talley?
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Talley. This is Senator Devlin, and I'm here with most of the members of the Rules and Executive Appointments Committee. We'd just like to hear a little bit from you today, your background, and why you're interested in the appointment to the Voluntary Action and Service Board.
All right, very good. Can you hear me all right?
And please identify yourself for the record.
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, yeah. You're fine.
All right, very good. I'm Ben Talley. Benjamin Edgar Talley is my legal name. I live in Pendleton, Oregon, with my family.
Well, aren't you lucky?
Okay.
I've, along with my wife, have been long-time, community activists involved in a number of things over the years. But I think that now that I retired, I just work part-time now, retired last year as a professional librarian. I'm currently helping take care of my mother-in-law, Rachel, who's living with Parkinson's disease. And so that has opened up a whole new, experience of the importance around people in a neighborhood and families helping each other. I'm retired from both the community college and prison librarianship, and I volunteered in prisons for a couple of years working with Native American spirituality program. I worked with the students projects at the community college here in Oregon, student organization for student groups to engage multiculturally to broaden our diversity here at Blue Mountain Community College. There's just so many of them. I've been involved in our political party here quite heavily over the last 4 years.
This is a bipartisan crowd, but you...
Yes,
we don't...
Well, nevertheless, it's where my values come from, and I have learned in that effort that by listening, folks tend to come forward with what's important to them and tend to get more engaged in the political community processes. I'm also on currently on the Pendleton City Council Cable Public Access Task Force, which is very exciting because we haven't enjoyed that service on our Channel 5 here, and soon we will, and that's very good, I think, for the community generally, for community organizations to connect with each other and to stimulate cultural sharing and so forth. So important in the quality of life in our communities.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Talley. Are there any questions for Mr. Talley? Mr. Talley, our process here after hearing from you is a little bit later. We will act on your appointment. We're now in public hearing. So we have a number of people that are calling in, so we have some of those waiting. So I'm going to go on to the next party now. But thank you very much for being willing to call in here today.
Thank you, Senator Devlin.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We do have a gentleman that wants to testify in one of the reappointments.
That's fine. It's curlier when it's longer.
Okay. You both don't have any gray hair.
I cheat.
I do.
You cheat too?
No, I have gray hair.
Okay.
Just got a shower that kind of taking the pool over.
I can't pull it over.
But, Richard, people still think I'm older than you, so.
I had a soul patch, though. It was gray. It was pathetic. But I left it on just to spite.
Okay. You didn't have it. Okay, Ms. Phillipson?
Good afternoon.
This is Senator Devlin, and I'm here with many members of the Rules and Executive Appointments Committee. And what we do basically here is you have been appointed by the governor to the Voluntary Action and Service Committee or Commission. And our purpose here today is basically to hear about your appointment and to make a recommendation to the Senate on confirmation. Would you please just give us a couple minutes about yourself and a little bit about your interest in serving on this commission?
Wonderful, thank you. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Catherine Phillipson. My address is 1600 Southwest 27th Street, Troutdale, Oregon, 97060, and I'm a student at the University of Oregon. I'm interested in serving on this commission because I believe in the transformative power of service. Not only do I value the direct impact that it has, but I really believe that it engages people personally in issues of social justice in their communities and their state and fosters civic engagement. I'm also interested in learning from the committee how to support the AmeriCorps programs, and being involved in that evaluative process I think will really help me to develop as a leader and as a volunteer coordinator. I bring to the table my experience as an intern last summer with Oregon Volunteers, students' perspective to be in contact with public education institutions from a student's perspective across the state, and I also have experience organizing a wide variety of volunteer projects in the Portland and Eugene area.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions for Ms. Phillipson?
Quick comment.
Yes.
She was extremely well-prepared and articulate, and that's very appreciated.
That was Senator Atkinson commenting on how well you were prepared.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our process now is we will go on to some of the other parties that we have for public hearing, and then a little bit later in the afternoon we will go into a work session to actually act on the appointments. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Take care.
Fine. Okay.
Leanne
Garden. Okay. Is this Ms. Nan Garnick?
Yes.
This is Senator Devlin, and I'm here with the Rules and Executive Appointments Committee. And we would just like to hear a few minutes from you in terms of your interest to serve on the Aviation Board and just a little bit about your background.
All righty. Well, good afternoon, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Nan Garnick. I am from Redmond. And I'd like the opportunity to serve on the Aviation Board because I bring with me over 30 years of experience in the aviation business,
Being an owner-operator in this dynamic industry requires that I stay informed about the constant changes in the aviation and aerospace industry, including, but not limited to, fueling, maintenance, and aircraft operational needs. This background allows me to bring to the board a different perspective as to the challenges that business owners face. I also have direct access to pilots, passenger, and maintenance personnel that utilize our fixed base operation and their comments and concerns about aviation in Oregon. I thank you for this opportunity to testify by phone today, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you may have for me.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Garnick?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Nan, this is Jason Atkinson. Is Butler Aviation an FBO?
Yeah, Chair Devlin and Senator Atkinson. Butler Aircraft has an FBO here on the Redmond Airport, and we also are involved in aerial fire suppression with our DC-7 air tankers.
Is that a big portion of your business?
It's a fairly big portion of our business. We have three air tankers. So two of them are contracted with the state of Oregon for fire suppression here in Oregon. And we were also what they did, CWN, down in California during the devastating fires down there.
Do you, you're very aware, a lot of constituent phone calls I receive have to do with, and forgive me for forgetting the legal term, it's when an operation or a private party owns a hangar and the airport, usually county-owned airport, owns the land underneath the airport. I'm sure you're very familiar with that. A lot of those are coming up due right now, and people are very concerned that the airport will either condemn or not renew all the improvements that they've made to their hangar. Have you been made aware of that, and do you have an opinion of that?
Actually, no, I hadn't heard much about that. Right here in Redmond, the city of Redmond owns all the facilities that we lease, so we've always just paid rent to the city, and I haven't really heard much about that issue here on the airport here in Redmond. Everybody here that I'm aware of, the city has worked with to renew their contracts and stuff, so I haven't heard much of that here on the Redmond airport.
Well, perhaps we could talk next month after the session's over, and I'll fill you in on some of those concerns that are being voiced around the state.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Garnick, and we will be acting on your appointment a little bit later this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. This one. Is this Mr. Dagoberto Morales Duran?
Yes, excuse me.
Mr. Duran, this is Senator Devlin, and I'm here with the other members of the Rules and Executive Appointments Committee. We'd just like to hear from you for a couple of minutes about your interest in the Commission on Hispanic Affairs and a little bit about your background. So if you could just give us a couple of minutes, that would be most appreciated.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Dagoberto Morales. I was born in Mexico. I moved to the United States in 1984, and I went to the school. I'm a technician in agriculture. And I work on the Medford and construction company, and I also work like a director of UNETE, a center for farm workers and immigrant advocacy. I understand I can be useful for the Latino community and the state because I have a knowledge about the needs and the skills of Latino communities and the regulation, the state I can explain to the people and also to enable to live better in this state. And also I have experience in the culture to kind of motivate the youth about learning more their backgrounds, their roots, the indigenous people. And also I'm willing to answer any questions that some of the members of the committee have.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Duran? Thank you very much for being willing to call in here today, and we will act upon your appointment a little bit later today when we go into work session.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to go back up. There we go.
I'm sorry. Oh,
okay. Mr. Butler, we're almost through these.
Okay.
Is this Moray Povey? Povey?
Yes.
Sorry for the mispronunciation. This is Senator Devlin, and I'm here with the Rules and Executive Appointments Committee. We're in public hearing now, so we'd just like to hear a few minutes from you in terms of your background and interest in serving on the Long-Term Care Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Maury Mansfield Povey. I live in Eugene, Oregon. I've been working with the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program for about 9 years as a volunteer, first as an ombudsman, and then I've been working with the Recruitment and Screening Committee for Lane County since then. My duties, of course, as chairman have been to lead the committee in the outreach to the public, recruiting and screening for persons to become volunteers in the program as ombudsmen or persons who'd like to work as resident associate program visitors. And it's been my responsibility to train those resident associate program visitors for their work, and other parts of our duties are to support the ombudsman throughout the year, and also to support and give continuing education to our resident associate program visitors.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Povey. Any questions?
I have no questions for you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. Have you questions for me?
Do we have any questions for Ms. Povey?
I think she's off the hook.
You're off the hook today, Ms. Povey. So we're in public hearing now. We will later go into work session and act on your appointment.
Thank you very much for hearing me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Three. And then to hear from the gentleman, and then I just run through the motion.
It's a seven-page script.
Can staff get some water?
Morgan?
Yep.
Mr. Morgan?
Yes.
This is Senator Devlin. I'm here with the Rules and Executive Appointments Committee. We're in public hearing now. We would just like to hear a couple minutes from you in terms of your background and interest in this appointment. And then later today we will go into work session and act on the appointment.
That would be great.
So please identify yourself for the record and please begin speaking whenever you feel comfortable.
Okay. Senator Devlin and members of the committee, my name is Greg Morgan. I reside in Glide, Oregon, and work for the Bureau of Land Management in Roseburg. I've been here as a senior outdoor recreation planner for 16 years and manage the recreation program, including issuance of special recreation use permits on public grounds for outings and public activities. Prior to that, I worked for 14 years in Salt Lake City, Utah, as a recreation planner for BLM, and also worked with the public in recreation capacity. I worked as an EMT, also with a volunteer fire department in Glide, Oregon, and I've been a scout leader for about 20 years. In this position for Outdoor Youth Program Advisory Board, dealing with the issuance of special recreation use permits. There are both BLM and Forest Service groups who have wilderness therapy schools and permits on public lands, but also authorized under state license. So I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have at this time.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Morgan? Seeing none, Mr. Morgan, thank you very much for being willing to call in today, and we will act on your appointment a little bit later today.
Thank you. I wish I could have been there, and I appreciate your opportunity to serve.
Thank you. We appreciate your service.
Thank you.
Okay, we will go on.
We're going to back up to Mark.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Garrard?
Yes. Uh-huh.
This is Senator Devlin. I'm here with the Rules and Executive Appointments Committee. Basic process is that we'd just like to hear from you for a few minutes about your interest in your service, your background, and see if there are any questions from the committee. And then we will go out of public hearing a little bit later and go into work session to act on the appointment.
Great. Well, thank you for the call. Good afternoon, Chairman Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Don Girard. I'm a professor of medicine and associate dean for graduate medical education and continuing medical education at Oregon Health and Sciences University. I'm a practicing internist as well. I work with the students, the residents, our fellows, and I also oversee our continuing medical education events that are provided for practicing doctors throughout the Oregon community. I have participated over my career in a number of venues and have developed a number of interests. I'm interested in, obviously, medical education, also interested in and have a lot of experience in working with troubled residents, troubled physicians. I served on the health professionals program for 9 years at its outset from 1989 through 1998. I'm interested in doctors who have trouble and trying to get them back on track, have interest in physician wellness. I'm also interested in the workforce and trying to facilitate the growth of our Oregon workforce, physician workforce, as best we can. And we have some interesting programs here at OHSU that I would hope we could work with the board about in developing. Anyway, that's my short history. I'm very interested in working with the board and trying to advance some of these themes, and would look forward to that opportunity. So thank you for the opportunity to testify for you. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for being willing to call in today, Doctor, and we will be taking action on your appointment a little bit later in work session.
Well, Chair Devlin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
One moment. The last party, we will take testimony on some of the other items, but the last party, we will see if we can still get a hold of them before we adjourn here today. If not, we'll just set them over until Tuesday. I'm going to separately, we do not normally have people testifying that are reappointments, the actual parties that are being reappointed, but we obviously do always open a hearing for anyone that wants to testify on those reappointments. So this hearing has been opened, so there's no reason to open it again, but this is going to be on some of the LCDC appointments. Mr. Butler, if you'd like to come forward and please identify yourself for the record, and I'll give you probably 3 to 5 minutes to explain what your issues are and why you're coming here today.
My name is Robert Butler. My address is 824 Southwest 18th Avenue, Portland, Oregon. And thank you for allowing me, Chairman and members of the Rules Committee, about the subject matter of today. And my comment has to do with the two LCDC appointments, both of them. Briefly, I am a native Oregonian from Portland. Most currently, I've commercial real estate broker specializing in industrial real estate for the last 30 years. My comments have to do with, in part, I met with the commissioner, councilors of LCDC at their most recent meeting. It happened to be in Gresham. I met with them to promote an idea with them, and I'm going to try and give you as fast as I can the synopsis of that and the conclusion that I'm asking you to consider. The synopsis that I gave to them is that as counselors, one of their jobs is to, I characterize it as making sure the math works for supply and demand for land uses for the next 20 years or so. So we do projections, we guess at our supply, we guess our demand, and we do a balancing thing, particularly for Metro. And Metro, as you know, has a supreme authority as to where urban growth boundaries are. Counties and the governor cannot change a Metro decision. But LCDC does acknowledgement. And basically they say, is the math good or bad? Does the supply equal the demand for the next 20 years in the plan? So I asked the LCDC, when you get the phony math, when you get the phony math, because Metro has just plugged in a frivolous number to make the equation balance, I realize that you may not be able to stop that and do something different than acknowledge it. But I object to you acknowledging it without comment. Without comment. And I ask the LCD to comment when the math is so frivolous that it should be at least commented to. Now, I took that math to ODOT because that frivolous math convinced ODOT to spend $1 million on an environmental impact study to do a interchange in Springwater, which is between Gresham and Sandy, Oregon, for $24 million. ODOT spent the first $1 million on it. I said, ODOT, you're crazy. You must know about transportation. There's no need for that out there. That was a mistake by Metro to even zone it for 17,000 industrial jobs.
I have a question, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
If I could. Sorry to interrupt you. I just want to, since we're considering two specific people here, I'm wondering if you could relate what you're saying to the two people that are before us today.
I'd be pleased to do so, and I can do so within the 5 minutes I'm allowed, I promise you.
Okay. Please proceed.
Probably making you concerned why I'm here at all. But anyway, thank you for your comment, and I will try and I'll live up to that promise. ODOT said, well, LCDC acknowledges plan. So we're designing an interchange for 17,000 jobs in Springwater, which is out in the middle of nowhere. 17,000 jobs, in case you know, that's how many employees there are in the state of Oregon owned by Intel. That's a lot of jobs. Every Intel has 17,000 jobs in Oregon. The Springwater plant 17,000 jobs out in the little Thule's. So ODOT's spending money for this interchange. LCDC acknowledged the plan, saying we can't do anything because the phony math equals supply and demand. So they say they can't do that and they won't comment. Okay. They also told me, Bob, you can't do anything about it. You're wasting your time if you think you can fix that hilarious zoning of rolling hills is the most important industrial land in the metro area. It's impossible to take rolling hills and put industrial jobs there. I'm in the business. I know for 30 years. Might as well put the industrial land underneath Oswego Lake. It's economically stupid. Spending money for the interchange is also stupid. Okay, so the conclusion from LCDC, I was disappointed that they're not interested in this problem. They said, you're probably wasting your time if you take your poster child, which is Springwater, and take it forward and say how stupid that is to call 17,000 jobs, prepare for 17,000 industrial jobs there. Okay, so I'm disappointed in LCDC. You have two members up for renewal. Boy, do we need new blood. I mean, after what I went through, we don't need to have them anymore. And so I suggest you scratch them. Now, who are we scratching? There's only one person on the entire commission that has any two maybe. One is a real estate developer, very smart man, Dennis Derby. The other is an orchard grower. At least he's a businessman. The others are things like attorneys. We have a guy that specializes in FEDs and landlord-tenant stuff. We really don't need them. Okay, so why do we need fresh blood? Well, I'm done, just about done. The reason we need fresh blood is we need a big look committee. The big look committee took a peek. They said, we're archaic. We were progressive. Now we're archaic. And the leadership here fired them. I hope they get started up again. I hope they will start up again. We need to start with fresh blood, and renewing these two candidates would be a disappointment for our future. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Butler. I would tell you, having a little bit of background in the area, that in a sense I understand why you came here. I understand your frustration. I would also like to say that you came to the right place in a different respect. If you do have an issue, both LCDC and Metro, even though Metro is under its own charter and it has some home rule authority, it's still under state law. And so, I mean, some of the issues that you would like to have explored, I'm sure that there are people within this building that you could explore on those issues.
I've been one from any building to the other.
Yeah.
Including Mr. Shetterly, including interim LLCD person, including Mr. Whitman, who didn't want to talk to me. I've been to the governor's office. I've testified before Metro. I've met with each Metro member. I have thoroughly gone all the way up to the top, and the problem is at the top.
Okay.
And I wish I got an answer in this building, but I'm very diligent, and that's why I'm before you.
Okay. Well, I very much appreciate that. And
thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Oh, we have them on the phone. Okay. We are going to continue with our final phone interview. Mr. Schiltz? I guess he's... I'll have to explain.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Schiltz?
Yeah, I'm here.
Mr. Schiltz, what we'd like you to do is identify yourself for the record, say a little bit about yourself for a minute or two. We're in public hearing now, and then a little bit later we will act upon your appointment. So please.
Okay, well, Chair Devlin and members of the committee, my name is Philip Schiltz, and I am from Ashland, Oregon. I live at 396 Idaho Street, 97520, if you need that. I'm a student at Southern Oregon University, and I would like to be the student commissioner for the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. I've learned a lot about post-secondary education through my times working in student government and as well as working with the Oregon Student Association. And I would like to see post-secondary education in Oregon strengthen itself as well as continuing its history of excellence. And I will do all I can to help students in the public school system because that's something I believe in.
Any question for Mr. Schiltz? Seeing none.
Oh, I do.
Yes.
What is he studying?
What is your major?
I'm actually a double major currently. I'm a political science and journalism, with I guess an emphasis on political science.
Go to the political science portion of the profession. That's the more honored portion of the profession.
Mr. Chair, if I can, just another comment, if I may.
Yes.
I was reading Governing Magazine yesterday and had a really interesting article about where we needed to go with higher ed. And Mr. Schiltz, if you don't mind, I'll try and get you a copy of the article. I think it might be very useful. In terms of globally, we're really struggling to compete, and I'm hoping your role on this commission will help give us a kick in the seat of pants.
Well, I'm really happy to hear you say things like that, Senator, because that's something I truly believe as well. So. I would love to get that article as well.
I'll see if I can dig it up from my recycling pile.
Okay, we have Mr. Schiltz, we have another question. Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I see by your resume that you've been quite active with student populations at a variety of students, SOC or SOU, and then also EOU and Western Oregon University, et cetera. We heard testimony yesterday that students and young people are less motivated to vote than other segments of our population. Do you have any idea why it is that we seem to have a lower voter turnout among students than we do other segments of the population?
That's a very good question, and I think it's something a lot of people consider often. I think OSA recently had a good showing getting students to register. I think the entire acclimation process of getting into, you know, before you're 18, you don't vote because you can't. It's not really something you think about. And then suddenly it's this right given to you. And I think a lot of students don't really consider it because, you know, they go to school and they work as well. So they are busy citizens, but I think the importance of voting needs to be stressed to them, especially on a state level, because this is a state that puts a lot of things on the ballot, and they're relatively complicated sometimes. I think it's the time issue, but I think it can't just be one reason why they're not voting, because it's a relatively complex matter, I think, or issue. There's probably a lot behind it that I don't think I could explain really eloquently in a quick sentence. But it's something that we definitely need to help try and solve.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Don't the students routinely get a voter registration card in their registration packets?
They do. I believe so. I'm pretty sure. We definitely do it here.
Yes.
At SOU. I think it is a state thing that they're supposed to. Students just don't seem to fully fill them out all the time. A lot of students don't find it as a big issue. So I think one of the main areas where we can solve that is educating students by how important it is to vote and get your word out, because it's this massive block of people that if you could tap that market, it's a relatively unique group who would increase voter turnout probably quite a bit.
So, Mr. Chair, so it's not because students don't have access to stamps?
Senator Farioli was remarking if it was because students did not have the economic wherewithal for a stamp.
Stamps. I don't think the stamps are the biggest issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, I think the point was not that the students don't have the money to pay for stamps, but that mailing is not a common form of communication for students, and so that we're looking for other ways to make it easier for them to access the voter registration process and then vote. So,
I absolutely agree with that.
Thank you.
Mailing is not something that's common to us. We're really technologically developed, but not so much on, you know, some of the more traditional ways of communication. That's definitely something to take into account.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd say there's two ways of looking at that. Technologically disadvantaged, because if you're in a power outage and you still need to get communication, you need a stamp. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, thank you very much for appearing here today. Senator Brown has shown that she is from a different generation than I am. And with that, thank you very much for being here today. We will act on your appointment just a little bit later when we go into work session.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me and listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If the committee will indulge.
Make sure the kid still wants to serve the state of Oregon after that. I don't want to do with those people.
He's
so cast. He said he was a student. He didn't say he was a kid.
That's good. Okay. That's true.
Okay. We will close the public hearing. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Nan Garnick to the State Aviation Board to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Dagoberto Morales Duran to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Patricia Brost to the Home Care Commission to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not,
so ordered, I'm closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of M. Murray Povey to the Long-Term Care Advisory Committee to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointments of Donald Gerard, Linda Johnson, and Ralph Yates to the Oregon Medical Board to the floor with the recommendation that the appointments be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Greg Morgan to the Outdoor Youth Program Advisory Board to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Jeff Martin to the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Bree Akins to the Sex Offender Treatment Board to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Philip Schiltz to the Oregon Student Assistance Commission to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Shirley Marahil, Nancy Olson, Monica Takata to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission to the floor with the recommendation the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion?
Question.
Yes.
No, Mr. Chairman, I beg your pardon. It's on the next appointment.
Okay.
Thank you.
To the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointments of Alan Brown and David Lohman to the Oregon Transportation Commission to the floor with the recommendation that the appointments be confirmed. Any discussion? Senator Farrell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry I was not in attendance in the public hearing that in which Mr. Lohman appeared before the committee. I did have a question relative to Mr. Lohman's ability to serve without conflict of interest. In this particular instance, Mr. Lohman is an attorney of some renown and some repute. He practices actively in a company located in Medford. Among his clients are the opponents of liquefied natural gas. And I wondered if the issue of his ability to be scrupulously unbiased in transportation questions came up during the discussion of his appointment.
It did not come up, but we have been aware of that issue, and I think the governor was aware of that issue, and obviously the governor has a slightly different position on that issue. So I think what we could do here today is to still act on the appointment, and I could, and I believe that we could do some inquiries if you wanted to.
Well, that's the point, Mr. Chair. If we act on the appointment, the inquiries are rather irrelevant to the process. I was not here to ask the questions,
okay.
Mr. Chairman. But the issue was raised, and people are aware of it. So
yeah.
I'm sorry that it wasn't a question that was raised during that discussion so that we could have on the record that this gentleman understands that he has to absolutely scrupulously put his personal biases and his professional representation of clients aside in order to do this job. And having that assertion, I'd be very happy to support the nomination, but I want the assertion for the record.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I was unclear. You stated the conflict. I was unclear.
Well, I think among the clients of the company that that Mr. Lohman represents are folks that have a direct interest in the liquefied natural gas issue, which is a very politically active and not issue.
Oh, it is.
It is.
I hadn't noticed.
Yeah. And I just wanted to have an assurance that he understands that to serve on these commissions, you put your personal agendas aside, and you announce a conflict of interest if you have one.
Okay. Thinking creatively here. If that was essential, you know, to smoothly considering this appointment, I mean, I could delay action until Tuesday on this appointment.
Delay action.
I could actually ask the question and ask Mr. Lohman to submit a letter to that effect, too. Let me see what the options are. I'll go to Senator Vakian and hear from all the committee and see what the options are.
Just like with virtually any public service, is there not process when you have a new member on a commission for talking about conflicts of interest and how you might express that in the business you do, just like we do as legislators? I know when I served on a board, we had that as part of our process as entering the board. It was explained to us, and we handle those kind of conflicts through our service on the board. So I suppose with my knowledge of how boards and commissions work, I'm comfortable that is taken care of through their own process.
Okay. Mr. Chair, yes. Also the fact that Mr. Lohman's a lawyer, he's required to comply with Oregon State Bar ethics and rules of professional responsibility. And while I couldn't cite the specific statutory reference to conflict of interest, I suspect that will also provide imposing guidelines for Mr. Lohman as well in this role. So,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I agree with both my colleagues that, you know, all of us at this dais are subject to GSPC regulations and Senate rules of ethics and conduct. And notwithstanding, every once in a while there's a breach. But there's no substitute for having someone clearly articulate for the record, because I've been contacted by people who believe that there is an automatic conflict that can't be dealt with, notwithstanding ethical canons. And I think it would start Mr. Lohman out on the right foot if he makes a clear declaration that he is very well aware that some folks may be concerned about the conflict, and he understands that conflict and will deal with it appropriately. And having that statement for the record sort of perhaps lifts a potential cloud. And that's my concern. If the chairman would delay until Tuesday or the next meeting.
That is Tuesday.
I think that would be a great consideration, and it might help resolve some of the potential that people feel is out there. Yes. Just by providing that assurance.
In the interest of wanting these appointments to proceed with the greatest possible positive vote, what the chair will do is actually delay the work session on this item until Tuesday, this particular board. And we can either get a letter, or if that's not appropriate, we probably would just ask him if he would come on the phone. That would be on the record.
Mr. Chairman, I think that would be a service to this process, and I think ultimately to Mr. Lohman.
Okay. Can we get him on the phone right now?
That's what I think we're trying to do.
Okay. I still have 5 pages to do, so
don't want to delay the process.
Okay. I will withdraw the motion opening a work session and moving the. I'm opening a work session to withdraw the motion to. Moving the appointments of Ellen Brown and David Lohman to the Oregon Transportation Commission to the floor with a recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection to me withdrawing? No. Okay. I will go on to the next motions while you try to get Mr. Lohman on the phone. Okay.
You were at Lohman.
Yeah, I'm just down to page 4.
That chicken, you don't know what you're
doing. Yeah, okay.
I got 3 more pages.
All right.
Okay. Here we go. I'm opening a work session moving the appointments of Michael Feldman and Andy Nelson, Catherine Phillipson, and Ben Talley to the Oregon Volunteer Commission for Voluntary Action and Service to the floor with recommendation that the appointments be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Wes Mello to the Oregon Workforce Investment Board to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. Oh, boy. This is the reappointments. Okay. I'm opening a work session for the consideration of appointments to the following boards and commissions: the State Apprenticeship and Training Council, the State Aviation Board, the It says SATE, but it should be State Commission on Children and Families, State Board of Chiropractic Examiners, Oregon Criminal Justice Commission, Oregon Board of Dentistry, Oregon Economic and Community Development Commission, State Fish and Wildlife Commission, Home Care Commission, Land Conservation Development Commission, Oregon Liquor Control Commission, Oregon State Lottery Commission, State Marine Board, Oregon Board of Marine Maritime Pilots, Board of Examiners of Nursing Home Administrators, Oregon Medical Board, State Parks and Recreation Commission, Board of Commissioners on the Port of Coos Bay, Psychiatric Security Review Board, Public Employees Benefit Board, Public Employees Retirement Board, Board on Public Safety Standards and Training, Oregon Racing Commission, Residential Structures Board, Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, Oregon Transportation Commission, TriMet Board, Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examining Board, Oregon Volunteer Commission for Voluntary Action and Service, Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee, Oregon Workforce Investment Board. I move that the appearance be waived and that the following reappointments be moved to the floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed en bloc. The reappointment of Robert Rogers to the State Apprenticeship and Training Council. The reappointment of Stephen Beckham to the State Aviation Board. The reappointments of Jean Phelps and Rebecca Hernandez to the State Commission on Children and Families. The reappointments of Joyce McClure and Michael Vissers to the State Board on Chiropractic Examiners. The reappointment of Mike Burton to the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission. The reappointment of David Smythe to the Oregon Board of Dentistry. The reappointment of Anthony Hyde to the Oregon Economic and Community Development Commission. The reappointments of Dan Edge, John England, and Skip Clarkquist to the State Fish and Wildlife Commission, the reappointments of Donna Brulin to the Home Care Commission, the reappointments of Hanley, Jenkins, Marilyn, Warwick to the Land Conservation Development Commission, the reappointments of William Flynn to the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, the reappointment of Pamela Fogg to the Oregon State Lottery Commission, the reappointment of George Tinker to the State Marine Board, the reappointment of Amr Badawa to the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots, the reappointments of Larry Davey and Kathleen Elias to the Board of Examiners and Nursing Home Administrators, the reappointment of Douglas Kirkpatrick to the Oregon Board of Medical Board, the reappointment of Susan Musser to the State Parks and Recreation Commission, the reappointments of David Kronsteiner and R. Brady Scott to the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Coos Bay, the reappointments of Susanna Alba and Cliff Johansson to the Psychiatric Security Review Board, the reappointment of Rocky King to the Public Employees Benefits Board, the reappointment of James Dalton and Ava Corpana to Public Employees Retirement Board, the reappointment of Jeff Martin to the Board of the Public Safety Standards and Training, the reappointment of Christopher Dudley to the Oregon Racing Commission, the reappointments of David D. Harcourt and Mike Goodrich to the Residential Structures Board, the reappointment of Francis Charbonneau to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, the reappointments of Gail Ackerman and Janice Wilson to the Oregon Transportation Commission, the reappointment of Richard Van Beveren to the TriMed Board, the reappointment of Dolores Galindo to the Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examiners Board, the reappointment of Beth Fox to the Oregon Voluntary Commission for Voluntary Action and Service, the reappointment of Lon Holston and Mike O'Rourke to the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee, the reappointment of C. Carl Califano and James Paulson and David Williams to the Oregon Workforce Investment Board. Any further discussion? Any objection?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm going to object just the principal of the one guy who came and sat through all this and couldn't get any satisfaction.
Okay. Senator Atkinson, are you going to object at this point?
Mm-hmm.
And would you like me to take that, or you'll be an objection and block to all the opponents?
I'll be fine on the floor, Mr. Chair.
Okay, that'll be fine.
One citizen who can't get satisfaction.
Okay. Would you please note Senator Atkinson's objection? And any further discussion? Any objection be on Senator Atkinson? If not, so ordered, I'm closing the work session on the previously stated board and commission. Oh, and that's him. Mr. Lohman, would you please come forward? I will reopen a public hearing. I will reopen a public hearing relative to the appointments of Alan Brown and David Lohman to the Oregon Transportation Commission.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Mr. Lohman. I think it'll make it easier to proceed.
Okay. Mr. Lohman, we had one of the members here that had a question that he thought is very crucial that he wanted to make sure that was on the record. So I'm going to turn the question over to Senator Farioli, who will answer his question.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Lohman and I have met on his appointment. We've chatted about it, but for the record, if you could, please, have you formed any strong opinion on the issue of the siting of liquid natural gas facilities in Oregon, in southern Oregon, or anywhere in Oregon? And do you or your members of your firm represent a client that have any interest in the siting of liquid natural gas facilities in Oregon? And if so, if you formed a strong opinion or you have a client or clients in either yourself or your firm, could you give assurance to Oregonians that you would not let your personal and professional interests in these issues enter into those discussions, and that you could be scrupulously unbiased in the consideration of these issues to come before the commission?
Mr. Chair, Senator Farioli, I do represent clients who are opposed to the LNG facility that's being proposed for Coos Bay and the pipeline that goes from Coos Bay over to Klamath Falls area. I'm not quite sure how that the work of the Transportation Commission might interact. I'm not aware of any direct instances where the Transportation Commission would be taking any action that might be related to those. But if it were, of course, I would have to recuse myself. Just as I mentioned earlier to the committee, I represent the Rogue Valley Transportation District Transit Agency there. And, of course, any issues that affect them, I would also have to recuse myself, and I certainly would do that.
Mr. Chairman, I think there will be an intersect between ancillary transportation facilities and LNG consideration, but I am confident with Mr. Lohman's assurance that he would recuse himself, that that his integrity is such that he would follow the rules of the commission and of the ethical canons of his profession, and I'm very comfortable to go forward with this nomination.
Thank you, Senator Farrell.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, Mr. Lohman, for recusing. Okay. I will be now opening a work session and moving the appointments of Alan Brown and David Lohman to the Oregon Transportation Commission to the floor with the recommendation that the appointments be confirmed. Any additional discussion? Hearing none. Any objection? If not, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Before we
yes.
adjourn, I'd like to thank you personally for your consideration as chair. I think you run a great committee. I really appreciate being able to get that issue dealt with with minimal disruption to send it forward with the maximum support for the appointment. But I appreciate the way you chair on the committee.
I quite much. You're welcome for that.
Thanks very much.
Now for the people that won't thank me. Senator Atkinson, will you carry the transportation commission appointments? Senator Brown, will you carry all the new appointments? Okay. They will be all en bloc.
Mr. Chair, whatever you wish me to
and
do.
And Senator Avakian, will you, since I'm never going to read this again twice, will you carry all the waived appearance of reappointments?
No.
Of course I will, Mr. Chair.
Okay, with that, we are adjourned.